I'll let them know how much you appreciate them this morning leading us in worship. Appreciate it, guys. And y'all got a Bible? Say yes. So Psalm 141 is where we find ourselves this morning. Grateful to be back with you all as well today. And we're going to do a little Bible study here, so I'm looking forward to that. Hey, can I just say hello, and then y'all say hello back? It just warms the room a little bit. Hello. Yeah, very good. All right, get it. Today's subject is not an easy one, right? So we're going to talk about when the struggle gets real. The reality is sometimes as a follower of Jesus, we fall into this concept that really is unbiblical. And the concept is very simple. It goes like this. If I am being obedient to Jesus, then everything in my life should be perfect. Now, sometimes whenever we think that, we are buying into really a demonic doctrine. That is not what the Scripture teaches at all. In fact, when you read both the Old Testament and the New Testament, what you will discover is that whenever individuals are obeying God, oftentimes they faced great struggles in their life. Now, here's the thing. The Lord, by His sovereign hand, allows struggles to come into your life and into my life. But He wants to use those to shape us into the image of His Son. He wants to use every single difficulty that we have to actually draw us closer to God so we can get to know more of who He is, more of His character, more of His nature. Here's just a quick little example. How many of you know God is a healer? Say amen. But here's the thing. A lot of people would never know that unless sickness came. Are y'all listening? How about this one? How many of you know God is a God of mercy? He does not give us what we deserve. We would never know that characteristic of God unless we needed mercy. So there are some attributes that God possesses that He wants you to know, that He wants me to know, and so He allows struggles, difficulties to come into our life so that we can learn to trust in that characteristic, so we can learn more about who He is. But here's the amazing thing. When you face struggles in life, and I face struggles in life, oftentimes temptations come along with those struggles. Temptations are designed to draw you away from the Lord. Now, I want you to listen because this is huge, right? Struggles, trials, difficulties, you and I as believers need to begin viewing them as guests in our life. Guests in our life who are there to show us the character and nature of God, to strengthen our faith. In fact, this is what James says in James chapter 1. He says it very simply. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. Do y'all know this text? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So again, the trials come, we're to consider it joy. That is, calculate it to be so. God is up to something. He is doing something in my life. He's doing something in your life. And as a result of this, I want to draw near to Him. I want to draw close to Him so that I can learn to trust Him even more. Temptation comes and says, God doesn't love you the way you think He does. Because if He really did, He wouldn't let this happen in your relationship at home. If He really did, He wouldn't allow this to happen in the context of where you work. If God really loved you, right, you wouldn't have this going on in your life. And the enemy wants you to pull away from God. He wants you to ignore the Lord. So with every struggle comes temptations. And with every struggle you and I have, we have an opportunity as followers of Jesus to respond. Now, there's only two responses, all right? So when you have a struggle and I have a struggle, we can respond in faith, that is, trusting God. He knows what He's doing. He is up to something in my life. Or we can respond in unbelief. Unbelief says God doesn't care anymore. God has turned His back on me. God doesn't know what's happening in my life. And the reality is some of you may be like that this morning. You may have come to church, you may have sang the Christian songs, but deep down in your heart, you feel like God is absent. You feel like, all right, Lord, I've been doing what You've called me to do, and yet I have all these difficulties, all these struggles. Well, here's what I want you to know. You came to church on a great Sunday. Amen? Because the Lord wants to teach you the difference between responding in faith and responding in unbelief. Faith says God has a purpose for this trial, this difficulty. Faith says, God is going to use this to shape me. Unbelief says, God doesn't have any purpose. God is doing nothing in my life. Faith says, through this trial, I'm going to learn more of who God is. Unbelief says, through this trial, God must have forgotten me. He's abandoned me. And here's the amazing thing. when you face trials and I face trials, the enemy loves to entice us to fall into an old sin pattern in hopes to experience some temporary relief. Are y'all listening? Say yes. Because this one's huge, right? What does the enemy do? The enemy says, you ought to go back to. And maybe he points to some old relationship that you know was ungodly. You ought to go take hold of. And maybe he points at an addiction that you once had. God's forgotten about you. If you have this difficulty in your life, if he really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. So you must, and he invites you, he invites you. And some of you perhaps are here today, and you not only have been invited to the sin party, but you're actually there. You've been experiencing that. You've got a situation in your marriage. It's not going the way that you had hoped that it would. And some of you have been enticed by the enemy to maybe go online. And you're spending time there. Maybe search up some old high school flame, see what she's up to. Y'all don't look spiritual, all right? And look back. What is the enemy doing? He's enticing you, he's enticing you, he's pulling you. And here's the thing, the amazing reality is that this is not new with believers. When they face struggles, temptations come. For example, in the New Testament, Christians were experiencing phenomenal persecution. Matter of fact, Peter writes to many of them who have been dispersed as a result of their faith, right? They've been kicked out of their homes. They've lost their inheritances. They've lost their jobs. They've been pushed out. Many of them are being persecuted to the point of death. And they are asking Peter the question, Peter, we're following God, but look at all of this mess that's taking place. What are we supposed to do now? And some of them are tempted to go back into their old sinful habits. Because at least there, they could kind of numb the pain or maybe chill out a little bit of the stress in their life. So listen to what Peter says, and then we'll get into Psalm 141. Y'all stay with me, sir? Huh? So listen, I love how he says this. He says, I urge you to abstain. You know what that means? Stay away from fleshly lust, which wage war against your souls. You know what Peter says? He says, in the midst of a struggle, temptation is lining up against your soul like a military fleet, desiring to overrun you. He says, stay away from it. And then he goes on and he begins to kind of tell them what not to do. He says, don't return evil for evil. Right? What were they tempted to do? They say, all right, they're going to treat us this way. Here's what we're going to get even. He says, don't do that. Or how about the fact that he says, the time for you to carry out the desires of the Gentiles has already passed. In other words, the time for you to live by the old patterns of sin like you used to, all that's in the rearview mirror. And then he lays some of it out. Now, you don't have to lay these things out. Peter doesn't have to lay these things out unless they're being tempted to fall into it or unless some have already fallen into it. So listen to what he says. Don't pursue a course of sensuality and lust and drunkenness and carousing and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. You know what Peter's saying? I know the struggle's real, and I know the temptation for you to go out and just get flat wasted is right in front of you. Don't do it. I know some of you are tempted to do that, but stop. Now, he's writing to Christians. Are y'all with me saying yes? Because what's amazing is what he says to them next, all right? Writing to a church. And I always imagine, right, these letters are written, they're passed around to the church, and the church gets together, and like, all right, Peter wrote us a letter. Y'all ready to check this out? Let's see what Peter has to say. And then you open it up and you begin to read. And he says, all right, here's what Peter says. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Why is Peter telling the Christian church, make sure none of y'all murder somebody? Because they were tempted to do so. Persecution was so great. Many of their family members, many of their friends were being put to death. And some of their response was, we're going to go kill some folks. Now, look at me eyeball to eyeball. You ever had a struggle in your life and you wanted to murder somebody? Don't look spiritual on me. You want to wring somebody's neck? Anybody ever said that before? Right, I'd love to wring his neck. What's going on there? The enemy's enticing you. He's pulling you. And then he goes on and says, don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a thief. Don't go steal stuff. Now, why is he saying that? Because they've lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost their inheritances. And so Peter says, don't go out there and steal stuff to try to gain back. Don't do that. That's not what we do as believers. Then he says as well, don't fall into the path of an evildoer and don't become a troublesome meddler. Now, I bought an eyeball troublesome meddler. You know what that is? It's just a gossip. It's just somebody that walks around, wants to get in everybody's business, and wants to stir stuff up. Y'all know anybody like that? Yeah. If you're not shaking your head yes, it's because you are that person. That's what the deal is, right? So the question that we have today, which I think is a pretty good question for us to ask, and really the key question, is how do we turn away from temptation? And as a matter of fact, we'll put it for you on the screen up here. How do we respond when the struggle hits and we're tempted to go back to a sinful lifestyle? How do we respond? Now, if you're taking notes, you want to write that question, then I'm going to give you the answer, right? Because we're going to get the answer directly from the life of David. Y'all remember David? He was struggling greatly. He was facing trials in his life, and he writes Psalm 141. And when he does so, you and I get out of this psalm really a simple action plan of how we are to respond in the midst of difficulties. And here's the thing. If you're here today and you're like, I have no difficulties whatsoever in my life, well, listen, you may know some people who do. And God wants you to take this message to them to help them. Then again, you may be here today and you're like, oh, I can't believe I came to church today because I've been tempted to run back to this old relationship, run back to this old habit, run back to this old anxiety and jump into it. But instead, the Lord's got a word for you this morning. So y'all ready for it? Say yes. All right, so Psalm 141. Let's look at it together. You got your Bible there in front of you? Say yes. All right, so the Bible says, oh Lord, now this is David praying, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the doorway of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, that is sin. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. Don't let me fall into their trap. Verse 5, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head, and do not let my head refuse it. For still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. Their judges are thrown down by the sides of rocks, and they hear my words, for they are pleasant. As one plows and breaks open the earth, our bones have been scattered at the mouth of Sheol. Sheol is a word that means the place of the dead. Verse 8, for my eyes are toward you, O Lord, O God, and in you I take refuge. Do not let me be defenseless. Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me and from the snares of those who do iniquity, and let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by. What does your Bible say? Safely. That's an awesome, awesome verse. Let's pray together. Father, take your word and may you do a work this morning shaping us into the image of your Son. And for those who are present, without a doubt, who are facing difficulties, may this be a timely word directly from the Scripture that can be applied. And God, we'll trust you to work in our midst. And that's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So again, the question, how do we respond when struggles hit and we are tempted to go back to a sinful lifestyle? Point number one, jot it down. I've got to talk to God and not ignore him. I've got to talk to the Lord and not ignore him. Sometimes whenever you face struggles, you turn away from God, you clam up, you no longer talk to him. That's not what David did. David in verse 1, the Bible says, oh Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me, give ear to my voice when I call to you. So David here is engaging God in prayer instead of disengaging from God in his struggle. And the phrase, I call upon you, really doesn't carry with it the tenacity that is in his voice. That phrase, I will call upon you, means that he is going to cry out to God. Now, I will tell you, this is not David leading in some silent prayer. This is David broken over his situation, lifting up his voice to God. And then notice what the text says. He says, Lord, hasten to me. Now, we don't use hasten very often, do we? But that word literally means, Lord, get over here quick. Get over here fast. Now, can you imagine what David is doing here? And really, it is a great model for you and I whenever we pray. God is not afraid of your emotions. Are y'all with me? And sometimes whenever you pray, you turn into somebody that you're not. Sometimes whenever you talk to the Lord, you try to act like somebody that you're actually not. And the Lord's going, what's wrong with you? When you have difficulties in your life, that is not a time for you to become silent. That is a time for you to lift your voice to the Lord. And this is exactly what David is doing. He is lifting up his voice to the Lord with great boldness. And he's saying, Lord, prick up your ears and pay attention to my situation. Can you imagine this? This is a bold prayer, to say the least. Matter of fact, even as I teach it, I think to myself, can we talk to God like that? But then I'm reminded that the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that God declared David a man after his own heart. So why is it that David had this heart for God? It is because of his relationship with God. So when you see David calling out to God, he is raising his voice. And he's saying, God, you got to get here, and you got to get here now. And some of you came to church this morning. The reality is you've been ignoring God because of your difficulty. And I just want to say, stop it. What you need to do this morning is begin calling out to the Lord again. Just say, Lord, here's my situation. Get over here. Help me out. Prick up your ears. I need you. It's as if he's asking the Lord to cup his hand over his ear and lean over the portals of heaven and pay attention to him. This is how you and I are called on through the scripture to pray to the Lord. Matter of fact, it reminds me of Psalm 12 and verse 2, where the Bible says this, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Let me ask you, have you ever had a difficulty in your life and you felt like the Lord was nowhere to be found? Well, what's going on? That's what the psalmist was experiencing in Psalm 12. Lord, don't hide your face from me. And then he says, incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me fast. Are y'all listening? That's a pretty wild prayer, isn't it? And some of you here this morning, that's what you need to do to the Lord. You need to say, Lord, I need you to answer me right now. I need it quick. This isn't like, Lord, answer me in a week or 2 weeks. Lord, I want it right now. Help me, help me. And then notice what he says, verse 2. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Now this is an interesting thing. When you study the Old Testament, you see worship in the temple. Worship in the temple was quite unique because those worshipers would bring sacrifices to be offered up in the temple to the Lord. And I will tell you, they made sacrifices all day, every day. But there were two major sacrifices that were made by the priest in the temple. And that was the sacrifice of a lamb in the morning and a sacrifice of a lamb in the evening. And they would burn those sacrifices on the altar before God. And as that lamb was being roasted on the altar, the smoke of the aroma from that offering went up into the portals of heaven as far as they were concerned. And it was as if God himself could smell it. Now, y'all know what cooking meat smells like, yes? Y'all have been to Longhorn before? Have y'all heard of Longhorn in Tacoma? No, you know what it is, and this is what he is saying. He's saying, Lord, I can't get to the temple and make this kind of sacrifice. So, Lord, what I need you to do this time is count my prayer as a sacrifice before you. And then, check it out, he says, and may my hands being lifted up to you. Are y'all all right, Baptist people? May my hands being lifted up to you, may that be considered a sacrifice, an evening sacrifice, and may it come up into your presence as a sweet-smelling aroma. This is what David is praying. Now, I also remind you that the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, which I think is awesome, chapter 5 and verse 8, and listen closely, you may not have heard this before. Did you know that your genuine prayers before God are being collected in golden bowls in heaven? And they serve as incense there. That's literally what Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 teaches. You know what that means? That means when you pray and I pray, and it's a genuine heartfelt prayer, it changes what it smells like in glory. Y'all ain't listening, are you? Can you believe this? You can change the scent of heaven through your prayers. And this is what David is experiencing. He's saying, Lord, I want to bring my prayer to you as a sacrifice. Lord, I want my hands offered up before you, literally as an evening sacrifice. May it be a sweet-smelling aroma in your presence. And it reminds me at the same time of what Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 12, when he says, offer your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable act of worship. Now, what's going on? This means you and I, we don't go to the temple and make animal sacrifices, but instead, we do make sacrifices to the Lord through our prayers, through the lifting up of our hands. Whenever we do this, we are offering up our bodies unto the Lord. And if I can kind of use Paul and David for just a moment, what David is doing is he's saying, Lord, the struggle is real and the temptations are great. But instead of me offering up my voice to commit sin, instead of me offering up my body to commit sin, I want to offer up my body unto you. And here's the reality. Your body and my body is always submitted to either Jesus or sin. There is no neutral ground with your body. That's why we're to offer up our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. So whenever you face a struggle, when I face a struggle, we don't need to ignore God. We need to call out to Him. And again, if I could say it so boldly, some of you have come to church this morning and you've been ignoring God. You've not talked to Him in quite a while. Now, you've said the blessing over the dinner table with your family, but you haven't actually called out to God, spoken to Him with a genuine passion in your heart, in need of Him. And some of you may be here this morning and you've got that difficulty going on. You're like, God's just forgotten about me. He doesn't really love me. I'm just going to church because I think that's probably what I should do. But God brought you here this morning to say, stop acting like that. Call out to me again. Did you know the Lord loves to hear your voice? Now, I know that may be shocking, right? Because I've got four kids. I don't know if I've told y'all that before. Four of them. That's why I love traveling. Somebody say amen. But here's the thing. I've got one, my youngest daughter. She just turned 12, 11 or 12. I don't remember. But anyway, so. But that girl can chat. Boy, I've never heard so many words come out of somebody's mouth. And I'm not going to tell you a story. Sometimes I'm like, Marley, that's her name. Please stop talking. You're driving me crazy. Are y'all listening? That's good parenting right there. That's parenting 101. No, I just thought I'd share that. Why? Because it gets on my nerves. That's why. I hope she doesn't watch this video. But anyway, she gets on my last nerve. God is never like that with your voice. He longs to hear you speak to Him. And some of you today, I'm just telling you, that's what God wants. That's the reason you came to church. Because God just wanted to nudge you one more time and say, come on, talk to me. Now, why do we need to talk to Him? All right, so here's a few answers to that question. Number one, I need His power. How many of you need God's power in the midst of your struggle? Amen? So what does He say? Verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doorway of my lips. So here David is concerned about being tempted to say something that he shouldn't say in the midst of his struggle. So there's a temptation there. So real quick, I could ask you, how many of you have had a difficulty in your life and you have said something you know good and well you should not have said? Anybody? All right, yeah, that's right. You ever gave somebody a piece of your mind like you had some extra to give out? So what David is saying, Lord, I'm tempted to use my mouth in a sinful pattern. So would you, Lord, put a guard over the doorway of my mouth? He's literally seeing his mouth like a door. He's saying, Lord, put a guard over this door so that nothing ungodly comes out. Reminds me of what Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. He says, let no unwholesome speech proceed from your mouth. That is, don't let it come out the door of your face. Y'all with me? I never said it like that before. I need to write that down. That was legit. So, what's happening? When you are tempted, and I'm tempted, we can use our voice in a sinful way. And here's just a few kind of examples. Do you know you can use your voice to rip yourself up in the midst of your struggle? So what do? You got a struggle going on. It's like, I'm such a loser. I can't believe I got this going on. I hate myself. If I wouldn't, if I couldn't, if I didn't. And what are you doing? You're just berating yourself. Can I tell you that's not the voice of God? You're using your voice in an ungodly fashion. Stop it. Or how about we use our voice just to complain about our situation? So everybody who will listen gets an earful about what's happening in your life and how horrible it is and how stinky it is, and you just go on and gripe and complain and murmur. Come on now. That happened to people in the Old Testament. Y'all remember them? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, I believe it was, wasn't it? Why were they wandering in the wilderness? Because they had a griping problem. Y'all ain't paying attention. Or how about we use our voices to tear other people down? So you got a situation going on at work that's a struggle. You got a situation in your family. You got a situation in your school. And what do? You grab other people and you just dog others out that you don't like. And here's the thing. Hurting people always hurt people. So when I run into somebody who is very cutting with their words, it's just evidence to me they got something much deeper going on. They got some hurt. Don't use your mouth in an ungodly fashion. That's what he says, Lord, set that guard over the doorway of my mouth. And then verse 4, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. This is pretty awesome. He says, don't let incline my heart to any evil thing. That literally means don't allow my mind, my emotions, my thinking to be bent towards evil. Don't allow my life to get busy doing sin. Come on, somebody. Isn't that awesome? This is literally what he's praying. Lord, don't let me live like this. And here it is. When you struggle, there's a temptation, just as David faced, to join others who are living in sin. This means that you may be tempted to run back to an old relationship that's ungodly, tempted to run back to an old group of friends who are living ungodly. David says, Lord, keep me from even thinking about doing something like that. What a prayer. What is he saying to the Lord? Ultimately, he's just saying, Lord, I need your power. Right? So here's the thing. When you call out to God, you're saying, you're getting access to his power to not fall into sin. Now, there's a second reason you and I should call out to the Lord, all right? I guess this will be number 3 if you're counting. Y'all with me say yes? All right. So I need his people. I need his people. I need the people of God. Now check this out. This is pretty awesome. Verse 5. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. Now, eyeball to eyeball, when he says let the righteous, he's talking about those who are walking with God. Now notice what he says. Lord, would you let those who are walking with you, would you let them smite me? Now, what does the word smite mean? It's a Hebrew word. Here's what it means. Hit you upside the head. That's pretty wild, isn't it? So he's saying, Lord, would you let the believers hit me upside the head? You ever prayed that prayer before you came to church? Lord, let them hit me upside the head. Now, I love how David tempers it, right? He says, now, Lord, let them do it with kindness. Did y'all see that? That's literally what he said. I want to read it to you so you don't think I'm making it up. Let them do it in kindness and let them reprove me. That is, let them set me straight. Now, here's the thing. When you face difficulties, when I face difficulties, sometimes it blurs my vision. And it hinders me from seeing the situation from God's perspective. It hinders me, right? So I don't know how to respond with my voice. I don't know how to respond with my actions. So what do I need? I need the people of God in my life. And what do the people of God need to do? They need to come, hit me upside the head with the truth of Scripture and say, here's what the Bible says you should be thinking about this. Here's what God has said in His Word about how you should respond to this. And whenever you receive that into your life and apply it, David said, it's like oil upon my head. And that is anointing, refreshing oil. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, one time I was in downtown Atlanta making some visits at a hospital. Some church members were sick, and I'll be honest, I needed a haircut. Y'all with me? I was pretty shaggy. So I said, okay, I'm going to get a haircut down here in Buckhead because I was close to there. So I just got Google out on my phone. I was like, hey, Google, where can I get a haircut around here? It's amazing how Google learns us, isn't it? It probably. Anyway, so I'm talking like it's a person. Then he said to me, he gave me a place, right? So I found a place. I pressed a little button to call him up, some Aveda salon. Sounded fancy. So they answered the phone and said, hey, I need to get a haircut, but I need to get it like right now. Can y'all fit me in somewhere? I said, you're in luck. We actually got the best person who can cut your hair. Best in the whole place. I said, all right, sign me up. They said, when can you be there? I was like, 5 minutes. So I drove straight there. I walked in the door. This is me walking in the door. I don't walk backwards, but I walk like this. Shall we? So I walk in the door, and the guy looks at me, and he says, you must be Levi Skipper. I said, I sure am. And then here's what he said. You are about to get the best haircut you've ever had in your life. That's some confidence right there, boy. So I just looked at him. I was like, all right, bring it. Bring it, man. Bring it. So anyway, he said, first this. And he handed me a hanger with a shawl on it, which I didn't even know what that was. I had to look it up later. But a shawl basically is something you wear over your anyway. So I got a hanger, and then he points at these dressing rooms. He's like, you go over there, and I'll meet you over here in the chair. This has never happened to me before. Going to get a haircut. Nobody's ever asked me to put something on. So I go into the dressing room. And there's a full-length mirror in there, and I look at myself, And then I start talking to myself. Y'all ever do this? So I say, Levi, what are you going to do with that shawl? Because here's the internal conflict I had going on. I was like, all right, do I put this thing on over my shirt or do I wear this as a shirt? I don't know what to do with it. So then I just got real logical about it, right? I'm kind of deciphering the situation. I'm like, all right, surely I put it on as a shirt or he wouldn't have sent me to the dressing room. I could have just put the thing on. So long story short, I said shirt. But anyway, so a long story short, I took my shirt off and I put this shawl on. Oh, Lord, I'm just thinking about it. So I walk out of the dress. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at my old self. But anyway, so I walk out of the dressing room. The guy looks at me and he just starts laughing. He's like, what? I said, what are you laughing at? He said, well, you put that right on, didn't you? I said, I always do. Are y'all with me? So anyway, I get a haircut. He did a pretty good job. Not the best ever, but he did good. Which, free information, my 13-year-old son is a barber. And he cuts my hair now every 2 weeks. It's pretty awesome. All right, y'all come back to the story. So I'm done with this. And he says, before you leave, we're going to wash your hair. I said, all right, good, man. That's what I always do. And this place is so fancy. So I go back to this back room where they've got all of these places to get your hair washed. But it's not like a normal salon where you go and sit in a chair and throw your head back. Y'all know those, right? This is like a literal pool lounge that you lay down on. And you hang your head off into this flowing water. Are y'all with me? So, I didn't want to look uncultured, though, you know? So I just walk in like I knew what I was doing with my shawl. And I laid down on this pool thing, laid my head back. So my man, he's watching, doing what he does. He's doing what he does there. And then he says, and by the way, they're playing music. Like, I'm sure it's some kind of devil music. But anyway, so it was, you know, so that music was going. He leans over and he says, hey, Levi. I opened my eyes. I said, what is it, man? He said, would you like for me to put some peppermint oil in your hair? Are y'all listening? Now, I was like, of course. That's what I'm here for, man. So he's like, good choice. He gets this, I guess it's essential oil or whatever. He comes back and he begins to put that stuff on my, I want to tell you, from the very bottom of my big toe all the way to the top of my head, I felt these waves of tingling. Are y'all listening? I'm serious. What I'm trying to say is don't knock this till you try it. That's what I'm getting at, right? Because I got up from that, and I'm like, this was the best haircut I've ever had. I feel like he had put me in a trance, and I just walk out, and I'm like, do I keep the shawl? What do I do with the shawl? You know what I'm saying? Now, you're saying, Levi, why are you sharing this story? I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. I have an idea. The reason I'm sharing the story is because here's what I want you to know. When you are in the midst of a struggle and somebody gives you the truth of God's word, if you will apply it, it is like a refreshing oil in your life. And that's why David makes this prayer. And he says, Lord, may they put it like oil on my head. But then he says, but don't let my head refuse it. So what is he saying? He's saying sometimes you can hear the truth of God's word and it teaches you how you should think about a situation, how you should act about a situation, but then you respond and say, I see what it says, but I'm not going to do that. What are you doing? You're refusing the oil, the refreshment of God. And some of you are here this morning and you've been challenged. You've not called out on God in quite a while. And I was like, call out on the Lord. And you're like, I'm not doing that. Guess what? You're going to miss out on the oil of Jesus to refresh you. So we need his people, don't we? And this is why you've got to get into the family of faith and you've got to quit trying to act so spiritual with each other and actually share about the difficulties in your life. And you need to have trusted men. You need to have trusted men of God in your life that you can say, here's the temptation I'm facing. Here's the difficulty. Tell me how I should respond to this. Help me see this biblically. And then as your believers share that with you, you apply it. Are y'all listening? See, church is so much more than you showing up and sitting on a pew and glad-handing everybody and then walking and going back to your normal week. This is about you actually living your Christian life with other Christian brothers and other Christian sisters who love you enough to help you when you are struggling. That's exactly what Paul says in Galatians 6. He says, go to the one who has fallen into sin and restore a brother. And that restore in Galatians 6:1, it literally is a word that is the same imagery of putting a cast on a broken leg. And what happened to that broken leg, spiritually speaking? They tripped up and fell into sin. And what did God do? God put people, followers of His, around the person who broke their leg in sin and put a cast on it. Help them get back up. Help them walk the right way. Help them to see it the right way. Help them to respond the right way. Help them to treat their wife biblically. Help them treat their husband biblically. Help them treat their employer biblically. Help them treat their teacher biblically. Right? All of these things are seen. We see it in Scripture. And we apply it. It's refreshing. Are y'all listening? All right, so last thing. Jot it down. When we pray, we also need His protection. His protection. Verse 8. My eyes are towards You, O God, the Lord. In You I take refuge. Don't leave me defenseless. So his eyes are not focused on his struggle, but it's focused on the Lord. He takes his refuge in the Lord. That is, the Lord Jesus Himself is his hideout, is his safe place. David looked to the Lord for protection from temptation. And this is what you and I need as well. When we got the struggle going and the temptations are large, Lord, I need You. I need You to be my refuge. I need to hide out in You so that I don't fall into the traps that are set for me. And that's what David goes on to say. He says, keep me from the jaws of the trap, verse 9, which they have set for me. And the snares of those who do iniquity, right? The trap and the snares. Right, traps, they would lay them on the ground, right? They had the teeth on them. If animal prey would fall into that, it would clamp on them. And this is what David is saying. David is saying, in the midst of this struggle, the enemy is setting traps all around me. Now, he's talking about a physical enemy, but you and I can definitely apply that to our spiritual lives. The devil is setting traps all around us, and he is inviting us to step into them. And I would tell you this morning, you don't see the teeth on the trap, or you would never step into it. The devil is an angel of light, and he actually entices you and makes it look good. And here's what I've learned about the enemy of our souls. The same devil that will invite you to the sin party is the same devil that will shame you once you get there. I love this. Where's our protection? It's in Jesus and Him alone. It's like, Lord, there are traps everywhere. Lord, help me. Keep me from falling into them. Lord, I need Your people. Let them speak truth into my life so that I can see biblically in the context of this situation, this difficulty, this struggle, this temptation. And then, Lord, I need Your power. Give me the power so I don't say something dumb. Lord, so that I don't walk in a way that doesn't honor You. Lord, give me all that. And how do you receive all of this from the Lord? It's through prayers, just calling out to Him. Did y'all see it? So clear in Psalm 141. So here's my challenge to you this week. Take the passage of Scripture, Psalm 141, and just pray yourself through it. Just pray yourself through it. Sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm calling on You. Lord, I give ear to my cry. Lord, may my prayer be counted as incense before You. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Can I tell you just free information? When I have difficulty praying, first thing I do is run to the book of Psalms. And I'll just begin to read through those Psalms, but I don't read through them for my own personal interaction. I begin to pray through them. And what it does for me is it just refreshes my own walk with Christ so that I'm speaking to Him, talking to Him. Y'all down with that? Let me pray for you. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. God, we know that this message is primarily for those who are followers of Yours. So God, I want to pray specifically for each person who already knows You this morning. Would You, by grace, give them Your power, Your people, and Your protection? Lord, would this Psalm 141, become a friend in their life that they can walk with throughout this week? Praying it back to You, speaking to You, may You do something so that when we have these struggles, that we respond in faith and we don't respond in unbelief. Lord, that we draw near to You, we don't ignore You. That we engage You in conversation, we don't disengage from You. And God, for those who are in that seat today who are not speaking to You, I pray that this message has been a source of encouragement for them to open up their mouths and pray. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, as I said, this message is for believers, but you may be here today and you don't know the Lord. Here's what I want you to know. You can't even apply what I've just shared without a personal relationship with Christ. That's what the scriptures teach in a nutshell. You were created by God and for God, but you're a sinner just like we all are, and we deserve death and hell because we've broken God's perfect commandments. But God, in His grace, sent His Son Jesus over 2,000 years ago to die a death that you and I deserved. Jesus died to pay for the penalty of our sin. We deserve death. Jesus died for us. He was buried and resurrected. Now the Bible says if you will turn from your sin, trust in Christ, you can be saved. So for some of you this morning, maybe that's what you need to do. You need to come into a personal relationship with Christ. So let me encourage you right where you are just to pray something like this as I pray out loud. Just say, Lord, I admit to you today that I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and got up from the grave. And the best way I know how, I'm turning from my sin and putting my trust in you. Now help me to be unashamed of this decision. And with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if that's the prayer of your heart, in just a moment we're all going to stand up and exit this building. But there is a connection center, a room right behind you. It actually says it on the door, connection center. Let me invite you to walk into that room. Nobody's going to embarrass you or anything weird. They just want to talk to you, help you along in your new walk with Christ. They've got some material they'd love to put in your hand, I'm sure, that would help you as well. But most of all, be obedient to Jesus. Father, thank you once again for this time in the Word and for our opportunity to be challenged. And that's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.